Mahatma Gandhi once said that you should be the difference you wish to see in the world. This is Arts and Cultural Heritage producer Jeff Carmack, and in today's edition of the Untold Stories of Central Minnesota, it's part one of a series where we're going to look at some institutions that are teaching people to do just that. They're doing this through a concept called service learning. While service learning is similar to volunteering, there is an added educational component, which over the years, educators have found to be highly effective. In part one today, I'll be sitting down with Tammy DeLand, community manager for the Minnesota School of Business St. Cloud Campus. And we'll start off with a discussion about the difference between service learning and volunteering, and how both are incredibly valuable as we build our community into the future.
Sitting down today with Tammy DeLand from Minnesota School of Business, and you are the community manager for Minnesota School of Business, the St. Cloud campus. And before we get into our discussion about service learning, what kind of different hats do you wear around the community that, you know, helps out the college with its service learning?
Oh, that's a good question, because I have a lot of hats. I serve on several committees in the community and on a few boards. I am the chair of the Downtown Council, which is a nonprofit. I also am the secretary of LEAF, which is the Educational Endowment for District 742's Activities and Academics. I also sit on Anna Marie's Alliance Board, and let's see what else. I'm on the leadership team for Partner for Student Success, which is a really exciting community initiative that partners educators, businesses, nonprofits, and individuals. It unites all of these people around the idea of student success. So that's really exciting. There are other community committees that I sit on as well, but those are kind of the ones that take most of my time right now. So I think the question is, how does that help in my role at the college? As community manager, my primary role is to connect the college, which means staff and students, with our community partners to create learning experiences, certainly, but also just good relationships in the community. So the fact that I already have so many connections in the community, that helps. That helps in my job.
Cool. Right on. As we get into this, and we're talking about, you know, both voluntary and service learning, and there is a difference between the two, but why are both of them important, service learning and volunteering?
They are both important, but there is a really big difference. Volunteering is anyone in a group or even as a organization, people who give their time free of charge out of the goodness of their heart for whatever organization or passion they particularly have. It is kind of a core community value. I think you can kind of judge a community on how many people are committed to volunteering. The big difference between volunteering and service learning is service learning happens with a distinct purpose of connecting the learning of that experience. So if I volunteer, I might learn, and I probably will, and that's great, and it maybe will be a happy accident. But with service learning, it literally is learning by doing. So you're taking a situation, where a real-world situation, where you apply some kind of learning objective to the situation. Service learning with the big umbrella is about civic responsibility, and it's about kind of that social engagement or social interaction piece. But when service learning is embedded into the curriculum, then it becomes even more, the learning is an even more specific objective. So I'll give you an example, a recent example. Information technology students are obviously very, very skilled, highly skilled. A project that a group of students did here recently was at Good Shepherd with seniors who, you know, as you can imagine, probably have a little bit of difficulty shifting into the 21st century, even with television remotes. And Good Shepherd recently went to, I don't know, I think it was DirecTV, they went to a big digital company. And so they have all of these residents who really have a big question mark in their head, how do I work my TV now? So on the surface...
Yeah, with like the DVRs, yes. And just there's all sorts of options out there now. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. And of course, some of these seniors had analog still. So it was a big jump for them. So Good Shepherd contacted me and said, wow, could your, you know, technology students help us out here? Now, the service learning piece of this was not our students getting really good at their technology skills by going out to Good Shepherd, because frankly, it was pretty easy stuff. The technical skills were pretty easy for the students. The specific learning objective to them, like if you talk to Tom Polonouche, the chair, he will tell you his objective for the students going out there was primarily customer service skills. He needed them to practice communicating technical things to a quote-unquote customer. And he also had another objective. He wanted them to do project skills, be able to take a project and manage it. So that's an example of the difference. You know, going out and sitting with seniors on a Sunday afternoon, that would be volunteering, and it would be a great thing to have happen. This was very intentional with that learning objective. Kind of makes sense?
Yeah, one of the best ways to learn something is to teach it. There's that, and then but then also this is just operating a TV, but they're explaining a highly technical issue to somebody who is at best they're uncomfortable with it. At worst, they're resistant to it.
Exactly.
But it's like, okay, well, now this is your world, and let's walk you through this. So I think, yeah, IT students talking to somebody that has no idea what they're talking about, that's a big deal.
I'm thinking of inviting them to my house next time I upgrade, yeah. I could use it, too.
Mm-hmm, yeah. Everybody has to turn to the IT students every once in a while for something, I tell you what. So how did MSB get initially involved with service learning? How long has this been going on, and how does it, you know, tie into the community, or how does this enhance community involvement?
Sure. The formalized service learning on this campus started in 2009. And it was a very intentional programmatic decision. As a matter of fact, in 2009, there was a class that was rolled out that really was pretty much strictly service learning in and of itself. That was how it was rolled out in its first phase. Then what came as a gradual follow, it was kind of rolled out over different quarters, is that each discipline, every program here, has a service and applied learning class or classes embedded right into the curriculum. So that's really fantastic, because everyone gets that experience, everyone. So that's how long it's been around. The connections, I think, the community involvement piece, it's particularly important to this college because we operate with a we care philosophy. And in terms of service learning, that means we're not just giving back to the community. We're actually a part of the community. We're making connections, we're making partnerships, and we're working side by side in the community. So that, I think, was a really important step.
Yeah, that idea of partnership, really, really goes a long way. In your experience, how many of the students are volunteering before they do this? Or do they have any idea of the benefits of what's going on? They might not even know these opportunities exist. You know, they're coming to school to, you know, get an education and you know, do what they want to do. But then maybe they don't know what the options are.
Sure, and you're right about that. And when I was teaching that first service learning course that I talked about before, I would kind of poll the students when we started out. And it always was a little amazing to me, say you've got 24 in a class. I would say, on average, in every class, I probably had 4 or 5 who already were actively volunteering in the community, which is a pretty amazing thing when you think about it. But that leaves 20 who are not. And so does it occur to them? As you can imagine, you're a college student, whether you're coming straight out of high school or you're returning as a quote-unquote non-traditional student, you know, I've decided to switch careers, whatever the case may be, I'm an adult, or I'm a veteran. Yeah. I've already been to Afghanistan and seen half the world, and now you're telling me, you know, get out in the community and do what? So there might be this perception or this challenge of, I've already got enough to do, and what do you mean I need to be in the community? It is an awareness, an education piece, just to be able to help students see that if you choose to serve in your community, that you do become a part of the community. Sometimes it's as black and white as you're making a business connection. I've had students who later on in their college career end up employed by an organization that they met their first quarter here, and they just happen to be doing service learning. Now, that's obviously not every case, but it's an example of what connections can be. But going back to the idea of just becoming aware that you are a part of the community, that we all maybe have a civic responsibility to each other, that's a lot of awareness. And for some students, it really expands their worldview, which I happen to think is a good thing.
You're in tune to 88.1 FM KVSC and the Untold Stories of Central Minnesota. Today in part one of a series about service learning, we're talking with Tammy DeLand, community manager for the Minnesota School of Business. And now we rejoin the conversation with a discussion about the different organizations that partner with the Minnesota School of Business as they build community.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Well, it is. It's becoming part of the community. And, you know, we're defining the community by living. And, you know, it's this is something I experience all the time. People are a little bit isolated, or they're not aware of the larger world. And you know, you can throw all sorts of stuff at them in class that you want to.
Yeah.
But unless you make them step out into that world and do something, then they're going to look at the stuff presented in class as just stuff.
Yep.
Whereas if you throw them into it and say, okay, go do something, now they've got, well, they're experiencing the outside world or another part of the world that they haven't experienced before, even though it's just across the street. But they're also planning.
Absolutely.
Also looking at, you know, what effect are they having upon this other organization? And, there's lots that can come from it. So, you know, along those lines, what kind of partner organizations are involved with service learning here at Minnesota School of Business?
You know, one of the just amazing and incredibly wonderful things about how this process has evolved is that we are so connected with so many partners. I couldn't even begin to name them all here. But let me give you some examples of ones that we've worked with in unique situations or that we work with a great deal. District 742 is an excellent example of a partner that we work with in many different capacities, in many different ways. Tutoring and mentoring is one way. We have for several years now had staff, actually, that serve as reading and math tutors in local 742 elementary schools. So that is an example of the staff getting involved in a voluntary activity. Students, however, in service learning opportunities have actually gone into elementary, middle, and high schools and created lessons that they have taught this kind of ready and willing audience. Let me give you an example. Vet Tech students, and this actually was in after-school programming with Kid Stop and after-school programming, Vet Tech students on more than one occasion have designed lessons on dog bite prevention, for example, showing kids how you, if you approach a dog you don't know, if you do approach, how you approach a dog, what you do if a dog is aggressive, that sort of thing, so preventative. But they also, this is a very fun lesson to watch, they also will teach kids who have their own pets, well, geez, did you know that you're supposed to brush your dog's teeth? Mm-hmm. And they will teach them dental hygiene lessons, for example. We also are very, very involved in career education, college and career education, and that targets starting about fifth grade and going all the way up through high school. It tends to be like fifth through eighth, but it really goes all the way through 10th grade. Another way that we've mentored and done service learning for 742 is mock interviews, where a business student, for example, might go in and serve as an interviewer for a high school student who may just be learning the skills of, ooh, how do I go through this process? Now, they may be applying at Taco John's, but the skills that a college student know are transferable. And then, as you said earlier, the college student is learning the lesson as they're teaching it to someone else. So 742, many opportunities.
Yeah, you got to start somewhere. You know, we all had that first job in high school.
Right.
Then you're just like, okay, this is not fun. I think I need to work on my career and figure out what I want to do so I'm not, you know, flipping burgers, making tacos. My first job was in Iowa. I worked for Hy-Vee grocery store as a bottle boy because we had
deposits
down there. Yeah, so yeah. People would bring back their garbage bags full of nasty, dirty cans, and yeah. I would have to sort them. Oh, was that motivating?
Yes, I bet. Maybe I want to do something other than this.
Yeah.
Well, even think about how, on that same vein, when I was a teenager, you know what? I don't know how many years it was before I had to interview for a job. When, you know, my first job, it's, you know, oh, my parents know Jimmy Rusciaschelli, who owns the dry cleaners / ice cream store. Think about that. Chemicals and ice cream. Bad idea. But I lived in a tiny town, yeah. And they knew Jimmy. And hey, Jimmy needs somebody to stand the counter. Why don't you do that for your first job? I mean, I think back on it, that's very different mm-hmm. from students now. Even a 16-year-old is expected to go in and interview if you're going for a hamburger joint. The skills are needed. So that's a good example of how our students have helped in 742 schools. A unique partner is Hands Across the World, which is a nonprofit here in town that considers itself like the first stop for immigrants and refugees. And so you're talking about language barriers. You're talking about
cultural issues.
Cultural.
It's like, how do you be an American?
And exactly. Yeah. And I'm thinking of one group of our students who went in and taught it was medical assisting students, and it was kind of an overall health, nutrition, and wellness lesson. Well, culturally, immunization is not something that many of those immigrants are used to or perhaps think is a good idea. So these students had to be very careful both in their research and in their communication. Yes, they had an interpreter, but they had to be very, very careful in how that was presented, because not only is it culturally acceptable to have immunizations here, but for the most part, it's the law. So that was an incredible learning experience. We have had students here who have done rewritten for simpler language, yes, still English, but rewritten parts of the Minnesota driver's manual because the new immigrants have trouble, they fail the test quite often, and part of the barrier is the language the manual is written in. They have trouble just understanding basic information. So that's kind of a unique partner. But, you know, there are just so many wonderful opportunities. We've had accounting students work with tax prep with TRICAP. We've had a wonderful partnership with Rejuve, which is a medical facility here. Medical and fitness students have gone there. And, of course, there's the United Way. There's Boys and Girls Club. Just amazing, amazing partnerships here in the area.
I think I remember seeing a video once of a bunch of students out at Good Shepherd. And they're just doing things out there.
Yeah.
And, yeah, it's a very rewarding thing for these guys. So not only the people that they're helping, but the, with the different programs.
Exactly. One of those that comes to my mind real quickly is we had a service learning group who went out to Good Shepherd once, and I think the volunteer coordinator there had tipped them off that there was so much interest in old cars. And you know that Pantown Club here in St. Cloud?
Mm-hmm.
The students reached out to the Pantowners and said, if we could arrange a show at Good Shepherd in their parking lot facility, would you be willing to talk to the people in your club and bring them out? And sure enough, that partnership worked like a charm, and they had this amazing just car after car after car, and then the students did some research on them, and as they escorted the residents around to these old cars, then of course what happened is the residents started telling their stories.
Wow.
I used to have a Fairlane. Da, 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 da.
Yep.
It was great.
Yeah, I can imagine. I mean, especially with some of these some of these residents of Good Shepherd were, you know, especially if they're much, much older, they may have been around when Panofalo was developing the car and experienced that story, because that's quite the story. There was he held like a fundraising barbecue, and it just happened, they did it, but yet a huge dust storm blew in at the same day, and I mean, it's quite the incredible story. So I imagine some of these people were there for that. And to tie this back into the service learning experience, especially if it's somebody within medical assisting, now they're encountering an elderly person who is recounting a memory, and that's what is that doing for a person who is that old, who knows what exactly they have going on, but what does that do for them?
Absolutely. Let me give you another quick example. One of the things about service learning is the best experiences are ones that are organically grown from the student's passion. So the students will have, and I'll be honest, very few of them, when you ask them what they're passionate about, say old people.
Yeah.
But
they rarely say anything at all. Passionate? What? Don't you have an opinion on something? Blank stare in return.
Exactly. But to give an example of amazing project that happened out of passion, this particular group of students said, well, we want to do something meaningful for veterans. There were probably six, seven of them in the group, and three of them were veterans themselves. And they said, this is important. We want to do something meaningful. Talk to the volunteer coordinator who led them to research, and I'm sorry, but right now I can't remember the name of the research study, but the research shows that Alzheimer's patients who are given something that is visual and tactile, it actually can elicit memory. Imagine that. It actually can elicit, it can make some of those memories come back. And so this particular group created memory boxes, and they went to their own personal medals. They went to parents and neighbors and older veterans. They put together not only this memory box, but some of them came in uniform. I'm not kidding you. It was show-stopping and really a little bit of tear-jerking, because one of the gentlemen, this was also a good shepherd, and one of the gentlemen there never, we were told after the fact by staff, never talks to anybody. Kind of a grouchy old guy. Never came out of his room. Never wanted to have much to do with anything. These students were presenting the memory box to a group kind of in a communal area, and he started to creep out of his room. He was hearing the stories. He was hearing the stories about medals. He was hearing the stories about war. And he kept creeping out and creeping out. And pretty soon he was around the corner. And pretty soon he joined the group. And before you know it, he was contributing stories. At the end of their time there, he did a psst, psst, to a couple of the students, invited them. They were military students. They were in their uniforms. Invited them into his room where he had his award wall, where he had all of his memories. And what an impact. That's learning.
Yeah. Well, that's real.
It's absolutely real world context. Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. And that's it. Those are one of those things you can't really plan on that happening, but you could look out for it happening, and you never know how it's going to happen. And that, I think, is one of the big things that students learn from service learning is, yeah, there's the scripted, this is our plan, this is our thing, but then there's reality, and reality is going to throw something different at you. And if you're ready for it, do it.
Yeah.
So it's a big deal.
And again, if you start with something, an issue or even a group that you're enthused about, the more likely that is that it's going to happen, the more likely that you're going to have a result that's a win-win for everybody.
Yeah. Well, speaking along those lines, if there is an organization out there that would like to partner with Minnesota School of Business in service learning, what's the process they would go about? How would they get a hold of you?
You know, the best thing to do would be to call me directly here at the college, and you could either call the general desk number, which is 257-2000, or and just ask for me particularly, or my exchange is 2006. We also have a service learning coordinator on campus, and his name is Frank Ayers. He coordinates the projects in all of the programs. So, you know, he kind of has the big picture, and I quite often am the connector, if you will, the community connector. But yeah, giving a call and asking for one of us is a really great way to start. And then we can help make those projects happen.
Nice, nice. Well, anything else you want to throw in there, Tammy, about service learning? Or
I think you had asked me about, examples of success stories. Mm-hmm. And I guess the only thing I would add is a really great way to see those success stories is to go to the blog. If you go to our website, which is www.msbcollege.edu, and then you just hit on that blog button and go to the St. Cloud campus, that is the best way to get a feeling of some of these amazing applied learning stories. The most recent one, probably if you go there today, the most recent one you're going to see is the one on polar plunge.
Yeah, yeah. Yep. A few people did that.
Yeah. Yep. A few crazy people did that. And they had a great time doing it.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Well, cool. Well, thanks for talking with me today, Tammy.
You're welcome.
Once again, you've been listening to the Untold Stories of Central Minnesota and part one of a continuing series about service learning in our community. We've just been speaking with Tammy DeLand, Community Manager for the Minnesota School of Business in St. Cloud. And for more information on their efforts with service learning and the college in general, you can find them online at msbcollege.edu and then search for the St. Cloud campus under the blogs link. Or you can find a link to this on our website under the podcast for this story at kvsc.org under the podcast and Untold Stories of Central Minnesota tab. This has been Arts and Cultural Heritage producer Jeff Carmack, and this report was made possible through funding from the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund, and it's been produced at KVSC, a proud member of Amper's Diverse Radio for Minnesota's communities.